Michael Gusev's work as a hydrologist at Pennsylvania State University regularly takes him to remote regions of the Arctic and Antarctic. At the annual convention of the Ecological Society of America in Austin, Texas this week, he posed the following question. How are those polar systems responding to climate change? The answer is based on his ongoing research into how water crosses landscapes and what happens to it above and below ground.
In the northern regions, of course, we have sea ice, but we have a smaller surface area than in the Antarctic, where we have very large ice sheets. And that actually plays into the differences in climate change responses that we're seeing in both of those places.
Gusev says the two regions also differ widely geologically and ecologically. He describes the contrast between the Arctic tundra and the area of Antarctica, where he's doing his research.
In the McMurdo Dry Valleys, in particular, when we get down to our field sites, we have what many people would immediately view as a polar desert system with no vascular plants at the surface, very much open soils exposed, and then some glaciers coming down from the mountains. Whereas in northern Alaska, we have a lot of plants. The tundra is actually very dense with vegetation and very green.
Gusev is documenting change over time by observing patterns in polar rivers, streams, and lakes. He recalls a 2003 visit to Alaska's North Slope, where his team followed the course of an unusual muddy stream.
We followed this up, and finally we found a big gash in the hill slope, essentially, and all of this mud pouring out from underneath it.
Here's what had happened. A massive ice wedge under the surface had melted, thawing the permafrost, causing the soil above it to collapse. That created a deep gully in the hillside. A study of historic aerial photos of the area revealed that this dramatic change, as well as changes to 25 other landscape features, had occurred over just two decades. Gusev explains that as water moves through these altered formations, it picks up sediment and nutrients normally locked up in the permafrost. As that flows into rivers, it could affect fisheries and coastal oceans. Gusev says the melting permafrost sets up another dangerous climate scenario.
As we warm, we release more carbon. That carbon goes into the atmosphere, contributes to more warming, contributes to more permafrost degradation, and the cycle sort of continues. In fact, permafrost itself is expected to hold about twice as much carbon as we currently have in the atmosphere.
At the opposite end of the Earth, Gusev works from the McMurdo Dry Valleys field station, studying snow patches. Not much snow falls in Antarctica, but what little there is collects in cool, shady spots behind rocks and hills. These patches insulate the soil and may provide small amounts of moisture for microbes below. Gusev says the melt from this frozen precipitation, as well as from older snowpack and glacier ice, is happening faster and is more widespread than a decade ago. The remote sensing devices his research team has deployed are helping to track how that water moves across the land.
We expect there's going to be patterns in both time and space that will be somewhat predictable.
Gusev expects polar warming and melting to continue at an accelerating pace if no significant reductions are made in climate-changing greenhouse gas emissions. He hopes his research of climate change at the poles underscores the region's interconnectedness with a global climate system that affects everyone on the planet. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.